Translation, in hopes of becoming happy in this material world, the foolish conditioned soul performs fruitive activities that result only in suffering. But by rendering service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one becomes free from such false desires for happiness. May my Supreme Spiritual Master cut the knot of false desires from the core of my heart. Purport by Zwangi C.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. For material happiness, a conditioned soul involves himself in fruitive activities which actually put him into material distress. Because the conditioned soul does not know this, he is said to be avidya or ignorance. Because of a false hope for happiness, the conditioned soul becomes involved in various plans for material activity. Here Maharaj Satyavrata prays that the Lord sever this hard knot of false happiness and thus become his supreme spiritual master. End of verbal. Omegyanam tanam dacha gyanam chalakaya chakshur mitam tasmai sri gurave namaha. Nama om Vishnu Vadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutare Simhati Bhaktivedanta Swamin Iti Namani. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nivishesha Sundavari Paschate Zatayani. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Translation again. In the hopes of becoming happy in this material world, the foolish conditioned soul performs fruitive activities that result only in suffering. But by rendering service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one becomes free from such false desires for happiness. May my Supreme Spiritual Master cut the knot of false desires from the core of my heart. So here are some of the instructions coming from the Srimad Bhagavatam. We've heard the Leela, our King Satyavrata offering oblations in the river, and a little fish appears in his hand, and he puts it down. Then the fish says, you know, very dangerous in this place. There are lots of big fish, very hungry. They're always chasing me. Please give me shelter. Who, being the king, he should give shelter. And he's very happy to hear little fish. Who wouldn't be? Little fish spoke to you. I think we'd all be very merciful. So you take him home and put him in his goldfish bowl. But then he grew big and he couldn't even turn around. He said, this is too small. You have to find something better. So then he took him to a lake and put him in, and he got it almost as big as a lake. He couldn't even turn around in the lake. This is not very sufficient for me. You have to do something better. So eventually then he took him in the ocean. And then he just grew to, what was it, 8 million miles. We have oceans 8 million miles big here on this planet. But anyway, then the king was, you know, bewildered and bemused and very happy to see such a phenomenon. So he understood this must be the Supreme Lord. So then he's praying to this, to the Lord. And the Lord gives instructions this time for this pralaya. and you should go with the rishis and some other living entities and some grains, just like Noah's Ark, instruction. And I will guide you in this form of a fish. I will protect you. So now we begin be instructed by the king. He's praying to the Lord in the form of a fish. And then the Lord directly, we will hear direct instructions from the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the form of Matsya, the wonderful golden fish incarnation. So here, the King Satyavrata, he's saying how the foolish conditioned souls by now he's enlightened by the association of the Supreme Lord. In their attempt for happiness, they perform activities in the hopes of happiness, and which only end in distress, suffering. Suffering. Usually activities in a mode of ignorance end in suffering. Activities in a mode of distress, in passion end in distress. Activities in a mode of goodness end in happiness and knowledge. This is on the material platform. So here he's talking about an ignorant person. It says they end in distress because as a result of performing fruitive activities, you will have to, fruitive means you want some profit, gain from that. So you want a reaction from that activity, so that is called karma. So there'll be a reaction from it, you'll get your fruit from it, and according to the type of activity, whether it's a prescribed activity or just your mental concoction, idea of how to be happy, whether it's religious or irreligious, whether it's dharma or adharma, accordingly you get that particular result. And it's all mentioned there, what kind of activities in the scriptures. It's mentioned what kind of activities bring what kind of result. And therefore we have the heavenly planets and the hellish planets and whatever in between. But the thing is that if we're performing activity for our improvement, which everyone does, because everyone's dissatisfied with their conditional state of life, so you're bound by your karma, you're bound to act for your improvement. But because it's for our improvement, then that we'll get a reaction, good or bad. But the problem is we have to accept another body to receive that reaction. So that is why, bad is bad and good is bad in the spirit, from the spiritual point of view. The Prabhupada has told us, no punya, no pap, only Radha Krishna. Because dharmic activities will bring you back, and adharmic activities will also bring you back into another material body to accept the result. So it's all bad, relative, spiritually, from the spiritual platform, it's all bad. It's all relative, good and bad. They both bring you back, and back is bad. If you're born, you won't be completely comfortable. And wherever you are, you won't be able to stay there. You can't sustain any position in the material world. You've got to keep moving. Although you may go to the higher regions and enjoy and be happy, there's actually no problems there for a long, long, long time. But you can't actually stay there. So it's in essence, from the spiritual point of view, it's all distress, it's suffering. from the point of view of Ananda. In the spiritual world, Ananda Buddhi Vardhan, ever increasing bliss. But we don't find that here. It's ever decreasing bliss here. Whenever we get some happiness, and it immediately starts to go away. You have to work, you have to put in a lot of endeavor to actually achieve that happiness. We work whole day for the little enjoyment in the evening, right? On weekend. Whatever, you put in so much more than what you actually get out of it in the material world. And here, we're conditioned by this time and space. In the spiritual world, you're completely free. Whatever you desire, you can achieve within the spiritual world. So that's the difference. And the whole atmosphere there is, Satchit Ananda. Everything is made from that. Not like here, it's Raja, Tama, Sattva. There it's Satchit Ananda. But we're so conditioned and so bound by and befooled by Maya. Maya has two potencies, deluding and throwing. That even, you know, in the deluded state, we're going to perform activities, and then we'll get some relief or some pleasure. And that's our experience. It works, right? We know that. We get some relief. If we go to the bathroom, we get some relief. If we step out from the side of the road, we don't get, you know, squished by cars. And, you know, we have experience. And if we do certain things, where the senses contact the sense objects, then there's a feeling of happiness. So the experience is real. But it's always an endeavor. And when we have a desire to do the thinking, feeling, willing, this is the activities of the mind. So when we have a desire to improve our situation, think about it, and then we get a feeling for it. Yeah, that's good. I really want that. And then, so then willing, it means endeavor. You start to endeavor for it. And that endeavor is actually work. We don't want to endeavor. We would like it immediately, like it is in the spiritual world. But it doesn't work like that. We have to endeavor. This place is called Vaikuntha. Kunta. Kunta means obstacles, pressure. Vaikuntha is without that pressure. So there's this pressure there of distance, time and space. You got to get through all these atoms and all these adhyatmic, adhidevic, adhibhautik. All you got to cross over, pass through so many things to achieve the desired goal. You know, you got to work all day to get some salary, so you can achieve your objective. So it's hard. You know, you got to go through that pressure there. And so that's the illusion that we're gonna resolve the problems and be happy. And but according to Prahlad Maharaj, he says your distress begins the moment. Who knows the answer? When does your distress begin? The moment you endeavor for happiness, that's when your problems begin. Which is, you're going to endeavor, that means you've got to battle through the material energy and the obstacles to achieve your thing. And that we don't want. That's troublesome for us. But because there's no alternative, we're used to that. So we think troublesome is normal. So that's the material world. It's a difficult situation. Krishna says it's a place of misery, and it's difficult. But we don't think so. We don't think it's miserable, suffering, because it's normal. So if misery is normal, then it's okay. You see, there's nothing to compare it with, except relatively speaking, there's a relief of that misery. And that's called happiness. When the misery subsides, when the suffering when the pressure is not so much pressure, then that's called actually happiness. It's not actually happiness, it's relief of pleasure or something else, like the senses are contacting the objects and it gets your adrenaline running and the hormones going here and there, and you think, oh, well, that's different, that's good, you know. You know, you go on these crazy, you know, bungee jumps, and you jump off, and all these things you pay money for to, you know, you think you're going to leave your body, and your stomach goes up to there, and you come out, and you go, wow, that's great, you know. You pay good money for that. It just shakes you up so violently, you don't know what's going on, and it's a new experience, you know. So, material world, that's your so-called happiness. You know, something different. So it's all relative. So therefore, it says it's not actual happiness. It's a change of the suffering or a relief of the suffering. As Srila Prabhupada says, if I'm beating you over the head with shoes, and then I stop, you think, oh, it's very nice. that's taking his pleasure. Or the man in a dunking stall. Prabhupada gives that. They had this dunking stall in Middle Ages in Europe. Right? They push them, right? Like a seesaw. They put him on one end and puts the other end up. He goes under the river and under water. And they hold him there for a long time, punishment. Then you come up. He's gasping. Air. But he's actually, we see him from our point of view, he's really suffering, but he's thinking that's wonderful. The air is so nice, so much pleasure, so much relief, so much happiness. But he's actually still in a miserable condition. And there are many examples, like, you know, Indra, for instance, when he became a big, he didn't want to change his position, because whatever you're born in, that you get, it's just according to your mentality, according to your karma, and you get that particular body with that particular set of senses, and you're quite satisfied. You don't want to change. That's my illusion. So the illusory potency, and then the throw-in potency, that even if you want to make a change sometimes, just like we want to make a change, so we come here, but then Maya, in the form of, in the form of your mind, will tell you, why so much trouble, so much austerity, so much difficult. It could be, you know, you could take it easy, and gives you all these like suggestions. as a result of our impious activities. Why we can't immediately surrender to Krishna? We don't have that adhika. So what is preventing us is our previous, you know, karmas. And although devotional service has nothing to do with karmas, but Maya has. It's fixed. She has to give you your due suffering and due happiness. So you just can't surrender to Krishna. She won't let you in the form of like your own mind. Just like, you know, you can't surrender to Krishna if you perform sinful activities. Even if you're face to face with Krishna, your consciousness will make you embarrassed and you won't be able to look at him, right? Because of that. It's something like that. It's not that Maya does, you know, is actually personally coming and grabbing us and forcing us, but it's just the whole psych of it, that, you know, because the Krishna is known by, of course, by his mercy, but then by, you know, a desire to know him, to know him, to be with him, to love him, but that much of Krishna we can experience according to the degree that we're not still having the same affection for the material world. So according to that affection we have for the material world, that we it's difficult to give up that desire that there's some happiness and some comfortable positions for me and some pleasure to be had, because our experience is pleasure. Our experience is there's some relief. That's practical experience. But of course, it doesn't last, and you have to work so long to get that. So that's the, you got that throwing potency of Maya to also your own mind and your own karma will actually take you away, even though you want to. One has to be come to the point of just saying no to Maya. But you've got to mean it. When we say no to Maya, it's, you know, it's no. Because that we know there's a sense of relief and pleasure there, and it's what we're looking for. Because material world is troublesome, and that is our nature: no anxiety and ananda. So, therefore, the knowledge is essential. This knowledge of the material energy, that's also essential. That's why it is said, we don't jump to the 10th canto, because you can't appreciate it. You can't appreciate Vrindavan in your conditional state. So you've got to go to the 9th canto. You've got to get purged of this false ego and this idea that you are the doer and the enjoyer. Everything is it. Everything, the creation is Krishna's creation. It's his energy. And it's meant for his pleasure. We're claiming to be the servants of Krishna, but we're looking at his energy for our own pleasure. So that's not very nice servant, right? You're looking at someone or something with a view that, oh, I could really gain something from that. Right? And then you make friendships, and then you all those kind of things happen. But there's always some self-interest. Or from the sinful to the very pious, there's always some self-interest. There must be. It's only devotion means only Krishna, actually. You can't. All this other devotion to your wife, to your family, to humanity, to to the nation. There's all the self motivation there. Must be. There must be. because and you see, as soon as there's a disagreement, then that, as soon as your agenda is not being met, then you separate. You go somewhere else. That's what we actually see. Well, there's a war, or there's a divorce, it's not actually devotion. It's not pure devotion. We're doing it for our own self. So devotion only means to Krishna, because actually everything is meant for Krishna's pleasure, and we are meant for Krishna's pleasure. So that's actually real. So that has to be established in our mind, in our hearts, and in our intelligence. That has to be established and convinced. And that's why there's so much of this kind of information, especially in the fifth canto, the Pranjan section, the forest of material enjoyment. It's heavy, 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 heavy. Telling that, we're trying so hard to, talking about, materialist, that is. Trying so hard to establish yourself and get pleasure, and it's all a failure. It always ends in distress. It always ends in rebirth. So even if you get a nice position, you can't maintain it. If you get a nice position in the higher regions, you can't maintain it. There's some relief. It's very nice, fantastic from our point of view. but from the spiritual angle vision, it is, as Krishna says, it's temporary and it's full of misery. Krishna says, top to bottom. We're thinking top, wow, fantastic. There's no troubles. There's no problems. In Swarga, there's no problems. What to speak of other higher planets is, you're getting some, sometimes you get some spiritual ecstasy also. But compared with what we're supposed to be, in the spiritual world, in that atmosphere, having a loving relationship with Krishna and his devotees, it's really shallow. It's very shallow. So therefore, from that point of view, you can say it's suffering. We can't say it's suffering. How can we? In the heavenly planet, it's not suffering, as far as we know it. In the relative world, because we've forgotten the actual, our real existence, our real, real life of freedom and love in the spiritual world. How wonderful, sweet it is there. And we're giving it up for something else much inferior. So, unless that is there, unless you understand our relationship with the material energy, then you won't be able to cut it. It's very difficult. It's very difficult to give it up. So you have to have a thorough understanding, and you have to be convinced of it. That's why it keeps on repeating again and again and again. Because we don't stop. We don't give up the idea, do we? When the senses go, we see the senses are still going to, nice places. Right? We haven't given up the idea that there's pleasure and that pleasure is attractive. Isn't it? We're still attracted by, certain things. It is attractive. It's Krishna's energy. It's working under his direction. Krishna's entered into it. It's attractive. So that, and that's nature. That's the material nature. But it's a very inferior form of enjoyment or attraction. It is attraction. Maya is all attractive, Everyone's enamored. She must be all attractive. And she is offering a feeling of security and a feeling of happiness. That's for real. That's the best you know, then you're not gonna give that up, because that's what you want, those two things. Because we're feeling pressure in the spirit soul is feeling pressured in the material atmosphere. And so you won't be able to give up that desire for release and happiness, because that's your natural constitution. But unless you have something better, then how can you give it up? So that's the ultimate thing. We're waiting for a higher taste, which is coming by Krishna's mercy, and the devotee's mercy. But in the beginning, it's only faith, it's only philosophy that we're hearing. So this is the testing point, anatta nivritti, this point we're going through. This is the period of testing our faith, how faithful we are. What are we willing to give up for Krishna? Do we actually really believe him? That if we give up these fruitive activities and just perform activities for his pleasure under the guidance of his devotees, then we can go back to Godhead. Prabhupada just say, are you convinced? Are you convinced? Are you convinced that Krishna is God, that he will protect you? And we say, yeah, we believe Krishna is God, right? I definitely believe Krishna. Who else is God? If Krishna is not God, we believe he's a supreme enjoyer. But still, I haven't given up my own independent ideas and avenues of enjoyment, and this, I'm still hanging on to them. Otherwise, we'd be pure unalloyed devotees. So that's very difficult to give up. Krishna says it's very difficult. It's very difficult to overcome. But by his grace, and his grace comes in the form of the devotee. Here for King Satyavrata, he's talking directly to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He says, you're my supreme guru, because he's actually there, he has this fortune face to face, just like Arjuna. So the idea, give up fruitive activity. Fruitive activity means acting for my own benefit. Then you act for Krishna's benefit. We're still performing karmas. Eh? We perform karma yoga because we're performing work for some fruit. But that fruit is for Krishna, increase the Sankirtan movement. That's our karma. That's our work. So we're not, nothing really changes. It's just that self-interest changes from me to Krishna or devotees or whatever's connected with Krishna. That's all that has to change. It's just a very slight change in consciousness, which denotes whether it becomes a material result or a spiritual result. Just a tiny switch in consciousness. The activity remains exactly the same. We're eating, sleeping, mating, defending, going on. That doesn't, your life is not going to change. It's just that mentality. But it's very rare, and when one, unless one actually has, it's almost impossible to give up completely. You can do it by intelligence and by vigor, biting the bullet, they say. I'm not going to do it. But how long can you do that for? And it's not really natural. So therefore, you've got to do that in the face of these material attractions. You have to do that. You have to be strong. Somehow or other, you have to accept what's, reject what's unfavorable for Krishna consciousness. But we're hoping against hope that we get a higher taste. And we hope that it comes in a lot quicker than it does. But ultimately, until you've actually established your relationship with Krishna, then it's a struggle. That means practically up to bhava, shakti. Of course, initially it's okay. You're not bothered by these attractions, and then there's taste. Then it's quite easy. But still, no, mine's there, right up until that high degrees of surrender and Krishna's mercy. Anyway, today is the Panihati Chira Day Festival, so we can say a little bit about that. And the main devotee in that Leela is Raghunath Das Goswami, who actually had that attraction for Gauranga. He's because he came from a very wealthy family, landowners. But who was it? Was it Haridas Thakur? I think he used to come and used to speak to him and tell him about Mahaprabhu. He became very attached to Mahaprabhu. I just wanted to see him, and he even saw him. So then he became fully dedicated, fully attached to Mahaprabhu, and disinterested. Mahaprabhu said, "Don't be a restless person. You stay at home. Don't keep running away. Stay there and act like an ordinary." Eventually, he told him that, act like an ordinary person, but you know, think of me, and then don't show that when your mother and father have gone, and you can come later. But at first, he was always running, running away. So his mother said, to the father, "What can we do? It's almost a daily affair." She said, "Let's tie him up." He said, "What's the use? What's the use of tying him up? He has the opulence practice of Indra here, and he has a wife. She's like an angel. There's so much facility. But even that is not able to bind him." We said, "What can ropes do?" Says he become mad by Lord Chaitanya's mercy. What can you do with a madman? So his father understood that, you know, he'd got the higher taste was there. So although he had, you know, all facility for enjoying like a prince, that he was disinterested. So he's one of those examples. And of course, later on in his life, he became like renunciation personified. That nobody could meet that level of renunciation that he had. But of course, those great souls, it's not austerity for them, it's just disinterest or just absorbed in Krishna, that he would forget to eat and sleep by discussing, hearing about Krishna. So anyway, when Lord Mahaprabhu was on his way, I think he left for Vrindavan from Puri, but anyway, that time Nityananda was in Panihati. And then Raghunath came to see him there, but he wouldn't come near, he was very humble. And then one of Lord Nityananda's associates pointed, "Hey, look, Nityan, there's Raghunath Das. You see over there, Raghunath Das is paying his obeisances." He's calling him, "Raghunath, come." But he wouldn't come near. He wouldn't come too close. He was very, very humble. And Nityananda forcibly caught him and pushed him down and put his feet on his head. He said, "You're acting just like a thief from a distance, sneaking around." He said, "You have to pay a fine. You have to feed all my associates, Chira and Day. You have to make a nice feast for them." So he's very happy. Had a lot of money. So then he arranged this huge feast, called all these Brahmins in to cook, and they made the chip rice. They would soak it in milk, and then afterwards they would mix some with yogurt and bananas. Champa bananas, this very banana is only that big, it's really sweet. Champa. And sugar. And the other one would be kheer, sweet milk, mixed up in like that. And hundreds of people came when they heard there was a festival going on. Hundreds of people came, everyone was fed. Nityananda was there with his associates, like this, you know, the Dwarasa Gopal, the Balaram's friends in Vrindavan, his group of friends. They're known as the Dwarasa Gopals. There was, you know, Abhiram Thakur and Udharan, all those people. They was all there with Nityananda performing the kirtan, because Mahaprabhu told Nityananda to go and preach from Puri. Now Nityananda who by nature was very funny, an avadut, they would just wander along chanting and then enacting pastimes of Krishna. They were completely absorbed, just like a little Vaikuntha bubble they were in. That was their preaching. They didn't know whether day or night or which direction they were going. But people would come into that contact, they'd just be drawn in. And there was one instance where the children came, because Nityananda, some of them were so absorbed, they go into the Krishna leader as young boys, cowherd boys. Then the other children from the locality would come and join in their play, and they'd be so absorbed, they wouldn't go home. And the parents would come there, and he says, you know, for days on end, the parents would come at night, where's our children? They're not coming home. The parents would come to get them, they would enter into that bubble, and they become completely absorbed and mesmerized and spiritualized. They would go home, and then, so it says one time, for 1 month they were playing without eating and anything. But as soon as the parents came, I had worries, as soon as they come into that contact, they forgot everything, forgot all about the material, the hunger, thirst, lamentation, all those things disappeared in the spiritual atmosphere. So that was how they actually preached. Nityananda was very funny. what happened? Raghunath wasn't eating, he was taken later. While everyone was sitting, and it was a big crowd came, a huge crowd, and they were sitting under a tree that, it's not the same tree, but there's a big tree still there, it's a big banyan tree, but they say that's the Baitak Nityananda. the devotees go there every year, from Mayapur and Calcutta. There's a big festival there. It's pretty wild. Everyone's getting cheering day and making it and distributing it, and at that time there was no space. It says they were sitting around a tree, they were sitting on the bank of the Ganga, there was even in the Ganga, because there was just no space, and everyone was happily eating. So sometimes it's like that there, even today. I just understood it was today, because Shruti Dharma just showed me some pictures, because we're 4.5 hours behind in the year. So someone sent some pictures this morning of Panihati festival for him, and he was showing me. And the devotees are there. They take a big gorni tie from the Sankirtan bus. And Raghava Pandit? House is there. Raghava Pandit? Yeah. Huh? Raghava. Raghava Pandit. His house is there. Prabhupada said we can try to get a place there. Actually, we just got a place. And Bhakti Trumaraj, someone just gave us an ancient temple in some premises. They're going to start to develop that. Because Srila Prabhupada asked us, he wanted us to get Raghava Pandit's house because it was really deteriorating. And he said, then we can have a boat coming from Calcutta, then we can stop here. So you got those places, like you got Panihati, you got Shantipur, Ambika Kalna, it's different places. And actually the government have started the tourist board of India, they started Ganga cruises now, heritage tours down the Ganga with these big launches, very comfortable, and they're bringing tourists down. They built 12 ghats, and one of them they built outside our premises in ISKCON. So they bring a lot of tourists now. It's a very comfortable way to go, and very beautiful going down there. Takes a little while, but... Huh? Expensive. Not a cheap process, devotional service. So then a miracle happened at that time. Then Lord Nityananda, in his meditation, he brought Lord Chaitanya there. No one could see, few people could see, but most people couldn't see. And then he took some some churro dahi from somebody's pot, and he put it in Lord Chaitanya's mouth, and Lord Chaitanya began to laugh. And then Mahaprabhu would take some from a pot and put it in his mouth. And this way he went around all the devotees feeding Lord Chaitanya in a humorous way. But nobody could see Lord Chaitanya because there's Nityananda walking around and doing this, and he's like a dramatic dancer anyway, and everyone was completely abused, and because he's Avadhut, so you know, what is he doing? Nobody knows anyway. But he was actually taking the prasadam and put it in Lord Chaitanya's mouth. So then it went, then, and it says, wherever there, I think Lord Chaitanya appears in, was it, three places? For, one of them is when there's cooking or kirtan? Satyabhai, when she cooks, when Shivas is kirtan? Huh? When Nityananda dances? Raghava Pandit's house. Yeah. Well, was there... I know because he used to like the cooking of Raghava Pandit. Is that this... They call it Raghava's Jali. When the devotees used to go to Puri... What's his wife's name? She used to cook. Damayanti. She used to cook all these preparations, and dry preparations, and achars and things, and you know, things that last for months. And some preparations were made with Ganga mud, soft Ganga mud like butter, and some sweet, one of them. And a lot of digestive things. And he used to put them in a big bag full of it and take it to Puri. It was known as Raghava's Jali. Every year he would bring that, and Mahaprabhu really appreciated that. And he would keep it and eat something every day for the whole time. So that the house is still there. So Mahaprabhu is there when, I think when there's dancing going on there. So in this way, then Raghunath Das, he prayed to Lord Nityananda that, please give me your blessings, that Mahaprabhu would give me blessings, show me his mercy, because he hasn't showed it so far. Please give me your mercy. So then Nityananda asked all the devotees, please give your blessings to Raghunath Das, that he will get Mahaprabhu's mercy. And then he said, no, don't worry, very soon you will get his mercy. And he told him about the future, what would happen, which actually did happen, how he would eventually get Mahaprabhu's mercy. He would come under the shelter of Srupa Damodara and perform very wonderful service for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu later on. So here's Raghunath Das's he's our Prayojanacharya. Raghunath Das. And so he's renunciation personified. So we can learn renunciation or pray for his mercy, that we can also be renounced and indifferent, become indifferent to what I like and what I don't like, and just come to like, you know, what Krishna likes and what Krishna doesn't like. In other words, we surrender to the process of Krishna consciousness, and whatever Krishna likes, whatever the devotees like, we like that. And whatever they don't like, we won't like. We won't like. This is a nice mentality to have. That's actually surrender. So may Lord Raghunath Das bless us all on this auspicious day, that we can also become fully dependent on the Lord's mercy and give up looking elsewhere for our security or happiness. Jai Srila Raghunath Das Goswami ki, Panihati Chiradayu Sab ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Tai Gopal Nandi. Hare Krishna.